In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Orthodox Christians, one of our primary desires, our primary goal, is to be one with Christ, with our Lord Jesus Christ, He who lived with us, incarnate of God, made in the flesh, lived with us, died for us, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven in the flesh. And our goal as Orthodox Christians is to be with Him, to be in Him and He in us. As He says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, I am not in you and you are not in me. But our primary focus in our lives, throughout our lives, and with every moment, and with every hour, and with every day, and with every effort, and every piece of resource that we have, for we are to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and all of our strength. And therefore, all of our heart and soul and mind and all of our strength, all of our labors, the primary preoccupation of our thoughts, is to be in Christ, not simply with Him, but to be in Him, and for Him to be in us. And this is His promise, that when we partake of the Holy Sacraments, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is in us, and we are in Him. We want this. All of us want this. But it is easy to forget it. It is easy to lay it aside. It is easy to intellectually think, yes, this is what I want. Yes, I am a priest. Of course, this is what I want. Yes, I am an Orthodox Christian. Yes, I am baptized. Yes, I commune, therefore I want. But with our time and our energy, be moving about and really wanting all kinds of other things too, and to therefore dilute our desires, and to worship God, and to worship mammon at the same time. To be preoccupied with mammon, that is with money, or to say it another way, that is with things, with passions, with one another, with reputations, with minor faults and injuries and offenses of our neighbors. To be worshiping ourselves, in other words, in our own love, our self-love, to be taking care of ourselves. This is going to be the primary occupation while we confess with our lips that we love God and want God in us, and we want to be in Him, that we seek, therefore, what is called in Greek theosis, or in English, deification, to be sanctified, to be holy. The Holy Church, in its wisdom, knows that we are frail, that we are preoccupied, and certainly in this 21st century, we are extremely busy. They call us the ADD age, or the ADD country. So, deficit in attention, because our attentions are diverted in all kinds of ways, sort of digitally broken up, to cars and houses and hospitals and the sick and the elderly and our hurting, dysfunctional families sometimes, broken up by imagery and advertisements and desires, broken up by the insidious insistence of our society that we should, as one billboard says, go ahead and sin a little. That we deserve a break today. So we divert, and the Church knows it, and has always known it. For our diversion is probably maybe not so much greater as it was 2,000 years of the time of Christ when the Pharisees were diverted broadly. They're so diverted that they did not recognize Jesus Christ, but thought Him an impostor and put Him on the cross. The prayer, the church and its holiness and in its wisdom that provides for us a path and a way. A path to Christ, of course, always. The church provides the path to Christ. The church is the body of Christ and is itself the path. But it provides us more. And it gives us benedictus. It gives us prayer and fasting and almsgiving. It gives us all of that time, from the Sunday of forgiveness to the Holy and Great Pascha. And it brings us to this time, this holy season. And now we're in the finish of the third week, in the mid-Lent, we can say. The third week of the Great Fast. And what is it that we are to do but to engage in prayer and in fasting and in almsgiving? Bishop Palisos Ware accentuates these three things about Great Lent. This triad, he says, and the prayer and the fasting and the almsgiving then bring wings to our prayer. For fasting and almsgiving, it has a purpose, it has a function. And we do it throughout the year, but especially this time of Great Lent, we concentrate on prayer and fasting and almsgiving. Fasting and almsgiving because it serves a function in our spiritual lives. It empties us out. It empties us out of all of that diversion if we will let it put it aside in our lives. If we will let it empty it out in us. Fasting and almsgiving outwardly looks like simply abstaining from a little bit of food and giving a little bit of money. It can be done very, very simply. And we can still eat like gluttons and live like kings. But the Holy Fathers say that is the tip of the iceberg. If we fast from certain foods, it is the tip of the iceberg that we give 10% and a little bit to this man on the street and a little bit to China, a little bit to Japan, and some more to Haiti. That's the tip of the iceberg. That's the outward meaning of the fast, of prayer, of fasting, and almsgiving. The outward. And it is important. It is necessary. It is essential. It is critical. But the end is even more critical. And the inward fast, the inward almsgiving, is to do voluntarily what happens to some of us involuntarily. And that is to empty ourselves out, to create in our lives a void, an emptiness, a silence. The prophet says, "Be silent and know that I am God." Be silent, the Holy Church says. And during the great entrance today, the believing quality of silent once, for a moment in our lives, we were silent so that we could know that God is making that great entrance in our presence. Behold, the heavenly host invisibly stood with us. For behold, the King now enters in. And we're silent, and we've fallen down on our knees. And the great fast provides for that silence throughout the entire of Great Lent. Provides and asks of us, and requires of us, and begs us to maintain that silence, that void in our lives, that void in our daily, in our mind, that emptiness. And what to do with the emptiness? The emptiness. When a room is empty, we begin to see the dirt. And when our minds are empty, we begin to see the dirt. We begin to see our impurities. And we can tally them. We can take stock of them. We can feel them. And this brings us to repentance. This brings us to our knees. Then we have the attention to grieve, to mourn over our sins. Not a black, desperate mourning full of despondency and despair and hopelessness, but a wonderful mourning. The mourning that St. John of the Ladder speaks of. Joy-making mourning, he calls his chapter. Joy-making mourning. The joy of emptying ourselves out. The joy of cleansing our impurities. The joy that the little child knows as he runs across the beach with almost nothing on and dives into the ocean of the ocean waters and feels fine, purified, and cleansed. That kind of joy-making mourning. The joy-making mourning that we can pour out ourselves and lay ourselves before the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and be with Him and be in Him and He in us. Because we can only do it in purity. We can want it, we can wish for it, we can remember it in all kinds of impurities. In the midst of our busy, busy lives, 24/7 emails and games and traffic and stoplights and finances, we can want it. But we can't be in our Lord Jesus Christ, and He cannot be in us unless there's a place for Him. Unless we are into that. And thus, we can see our impurities and repent of them and bring them to holy confession. And be cleansed, and be made white as snow, and maintain that whiteness, that purity. We must maintain, not simply for the day, or for the week, for our Lord Jesus Christ is not going to dash in and dash out, and then a few months later dash in and dash out. But once He's there, we want to keep Him there. And if the fear of God means anything, it also means that we fear to lose Him. We fear to lose that grace that we sense when He is in us and we in Him. And we fear it like death. It is so critical then that we maintain that purity. Emptying out, seeking for purity. And how to maintain that purity? But to listen to the prayers that we have uttered this very day. Listen to the prayers. Let my soul, my prayer arise before Thee like incense. And let the lifting up of my hands be an evening sacrifice. And listen to the prayer when we pray. Let there be a door of enclosure round about my lips. And a watch before my mouth. Because we are imprisoned by the passions. And the Lord God knows it, and we know it. We experience it. Our lives are not going in the directions we want them to go. Sometimes our priesthood is not going in the direction we want it to go, thought it would go some 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 40 years ago. We are imprisoned by our passions. We're also imprisoned by something else. We're imprisoned by blindness, by paralysis, a spiritual paralysis. This imprisonment is that we as a culture, even as an Orthodox culture sometimes, have lost the sense of in-depth spirituality, have lost the sense of absolute sacred holiness. But it can be restored. We see it restored. We see it all through the prophets, and we see it all through the New Testament, and we see it all through the early stages of Christianity to the 11th century, and we see it into our present time. We see it in St. John the Baptist, and we see it in St. John Maximovich, and we see it and Elder Paisios at the Holy Mountain. And we see some have met another elder in Arizona and another in Russia and so on and so forth. And we hear tales of people being healed and people being healed spiritually. Holiness is a veil. It's present and it is with us. that absolute sanctity that enables us, when that is what fills us, when Christ fills us, enables us to see the fruits, the manifest fruits. We would wish for a miracle that our aunt or our uncle or our mother or brother or sister or child would be healed of cancer. This is a miracle to be healed of cancer. But there's another miracle. And it is a miracle of divine love. The miracle of truly, absolutely, always feeling compassion when our brother or sister is grieved or sad in any kind of way. Whether our brother and sister, and that includes our brother enemy and our sister enemy, those who would offend us, those who would slander us, it includes loving them like Christ loved the soldiers who put him on the cross, saying, "Forgive them, they do not know what they do." When we sense the passion welling up in us, the resentment, the anger, the distance that we push away other people in our lives, when we sense we're scared or frustrated or greedy or full of lust or desire of one sort or another, these are the passions. And they need not reign in us. We can, by the grace of God, keep them at bay and bring our brothers and sisters close to us and to our hearts. This is the way our Lord Jesus Christ functioned. This is the way he succeeded on the face of the earth. Because he loved them. And we, that great commandment, are to love our neighbor as ourselves. May the holy times of great men, may the holy church and our life in it, may the holy mysteries of the Father and love of our Lord Jesus Christ be for us the path to sanctification, that we always guard our mouth and always guard our mind and eyes and live in the world like angels, serving God and loving God.